If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me, please, to Ephesians, the second chapter. Beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 10. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And in verse 4, notice the change. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. In the way of introduction, we find that Paul is writing principally to Gentile Christians here in this chapter. He begins by describing what they were before they became Christians. He said, as you were dead in trespasses and sins, which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's what he's described them as. People who, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. In other words, we were living in disobedience to God, who loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to die for us. In fact, this whole sermon, and in fact our whole lives, are blessed by the pivotal words in verse 4. Listen carefully. It says, but God, even though we were wretched, even though we were sinners, even though we were walking in darkness, even though we followed the paths of unrighteousness, it says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages and epochs to come, the years that are before us, that we will receive exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, for by grace are ye saved, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that you might not be able to boast, for we are his workmanship, created. Now listen, this is another thing to this passage of scripture that sometimes we look over. It says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's an amusing story to make my point. Now, there was a certain man that died and arrived at the pearly gates. St. Peter said, you need 1,000 points to get in. How many do you have? I don't know, said the man. Well, tell me all that you've done, St. Peter said. Tell me all the things you've done. So the man started to list every good work he'd ever done. Started ticking off like clockwork, and he started remembering way back when he was a child and in his early ages as an adult and things. And he ticked off everything he could until finally he came to a point that he couldn't remember anything else good that he'd done. St. Peter said, well, thank you for that. That's about 100 points. 900 points short, the man's ego was deflated. He hung his head before St. Peter and he said, I don't know. I guess it's only by the grace of God that I'll ever get into this place. That, Peter said, is worth 900 points. Come on in. You see, it's nothing that we do. It's all about God and his grace. For grace gives life. And grace gives every man, woman, boy, or girl that wants life, life, abundant life. We find that as we read this passage of Scripture that who have been in the church for a number of years know very well. We know we're saved by grace, and it's not of works. We know how sinful we've been. We know that it could not depend on us. But here are four truths that I'd like to share with you from this passage. The first one is we are all timeless. Verse 7 says, what does that mean? Well, God created us to live forever. God is the only being that has always existed and always will exist. We are created. That means that we had a beginning. But God made us so that we will never stop existing. We will never die. We will never die. We may die physically, but we will continue to exist for all eternity. Paul writes here in Ephesians 2:7 that God has extended a wonderful invitation to all of us to live in the coming ages as trophies of the Almighty Artist forever. The term "in the coming ages" refers to eternity, as in those great years, those epochs of time. God wants us to forever be examples of what He did for us, that grace that gave us life. Grace is that undeserved kindness extended to all of us, and is God's response to our sin and to our guilt. God did not have to extend His grace to us, but He did. And it will be because we accept His grace and mercy that we live abundantly. You see, God made us timeless. But there is a flip side to this. Anyone can choose to live your life in denial. That is, denying God's grace and living a life without God. But the fact is, masterpiece or not, you are still timeless. Whether you're living in Christ or you're not living in Christ, please listen carefully. If you have never accepted God's grace in your life through Jesus Christ, you need to know that God created you for different purposes than to live your own way. God created you with different purposes than to do your own thing, to live the way of the world. He created you for a different reason than to accomplish all these things that we find as accolades in this world. God's grace, regardless of your sin, is still there, regardless of how you're living. If you're living in sin, if you're not totally surrendered to Christ, if you've never publicly accepted Him as your Savior, if you've never walked through the baptism waters, I'm telling you that His grace will give you life. And He's waiting. He's waiting for you to finally give up and to allow His grace to give you life. There's still time. You see, God created all of us to be a timeless example of His grace, not His judgment. Believe in Him today. There's also a second truth besides the fact that we're timeless. God says that you're priceless. You see, for verses 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, salvation is a gift of God. You can't possibly purchase it because it's priceless. You can't possibly earn it because it's priceless. It's a gift that's reflective of God's love for us. A priceless gift for a priceless creation. Some people doubt their value. $20 bill. Could I give this to anyone? Yeah, all over. That's a dumb question. You would take it if I folded it up and wadded it up. Who'd want it now? Anybody want it? You see, if I were to take it and drop it, and step on it and crush it and mar it, who'd want it now? You see, this is how we are in God's sight. It doesn't make any difference if you're crumpled. It doesn't make any difference if your life has gone amok. It doesn't make any difference if you feel worthy or not. It doesn't make any difference what the world says about you. God says you're priceless. That you're a masterpiece. That He's created you in His very image and wants you to have all the riches of heaven. He wants you to experience that abundant life. He wants you to understand Him in a way that few people do. The power of His Holy Spirit wants to rush into your life and take control and allow you to understand what Spirit-filled living is. That we might understand the unfathomable riches of God's love. I will tell you, there's a valuable lesson in this. Let me repeat myself, that you are a priceless treasure. And God thought we were so valuable that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no amount of money, there's no amount of works for us to do that could have changed our hopeless and helpless state. But then Jesus came and died for our sins, so that we could have eternal relationship with God. Which is why we remember the Friday before Easter is Good Friday. Because it's good for us. He paid the price because He considers you priceless. The third truth is we are a part of a greater picture. Verse 10 states that we are God's workmanship. The fact is that we are God's specially crafted piece of work. And the Greek word here comes from the word masterpiece. That's why I've been using that word. Paul tells us that God considers all of those who follow Him as masterpieces. But did you notice in verse 10, Paul switched from you to saying we. From an individual worth to a corporate worth. This caught my attention. And I believe it has something to do with all of us as a family of God, as the church. A body of believers who have become a group of God's masterpieces. Because God loved the church and gave Himself for her. He desires to present His bride, the church, including Cherry Point Baptist Church, as a spotless, unblemished church. And it's important to understand that the church is God's masterpiece as well. And I would ask Christian, are you a part of this great picture? This great masterpiece called the church? Many of you are specifically a part of this body in your journey throughout eternity. You see, God through His Word and His Spirit is teaching us and training us as a body of believers. And I believe every week, like an artist applying the paint to a canvas in the right places to make a beautiful picture, that's what God is doing among us and in us and through us, that we might be a vital and vibrant witness to a community who may not know Jesus as their Savior. And we do this by attending preaching and by fellowshipping and worship. We are all part of a great canvas, a masterpiece. And then we find truth number 4 in verse 10. It says, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, there are good works that God has already set aside for you to do that will rise out of necessity. Someone will need you to minister to them. And God will put you in the right place at the right time to be what they need. You find that the church acts when you act. But I will tell you that no matter what ministry or mission you choose, God has already chosen you for it. Unfortunately, there are some of God's missions and ministries that are not being done because His priceless masterpieces have settled for less than God's best in their lives. They've settled for allowing a little church in, a little bit of Jesus in. They've developed a habit of doing some of the right things. But I want to tell you, there may be good works that God has set aside for you to do that will arise out of adversity as well. You'll find that someone will mistreat you or talk about you or respond to you in a wrong way. And God puts you in that place at that time so that you can do the right thing. To return good for evil. To pray for your brother or your sister. We are a church family, and in any family, there are challenges. Too often, as members of this family, we see our way blinded because we want our way more than we want God's way. Or we're convinced that my way is God's way, and we don't listen. But I believe God wants to use any adversity in our church to mold us more and more into His masterpiece as we seek His face in prayer. I would say, before we oppose or before we criticize or before we do our thing, we must pray earnestly. And when we pray, God changes things. Anger does not, criticizing does not, corralling people does not. These things build walls and distrust over years that makes it very hard for God to heal through His Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you that prayer builds the body of Christ into a beautiful masterpiece as we pray and work to accomplish His will in all things. And I want to call on us now, while our fellowship is sweet and the Holy Spirit is upon us, to celebrate the great things that God is doing in our midst and has done in our midst. I want us to recommit ourselves to this church as God's masterpiece. I want you to recommit yourself to the things that God needs done here, those things that He's calling you to do that maybe you're not doing. I want us to commit again to work together in a more powerful way, in a more focused way, in sharing the light of God's love with our community and the world. And I would just submit, maybe you're here this morning, you've never been a member of a church. You may never have accepted Christ as your Savior. And yet, you want peace. You want grace. You want life. You want it more abundantly. Maybe you're here this morning and you believe, but you've never been baptized. And I want to tell you, Christ commands believers to be baptized, as we see this morning, as an outward testimony of an inward decision. I would challenge you, church, to ask yourself this morning, where is my place in this masterpiece called the church? And I want to call you to action if you're a member of this church or considering to become a member of this church. I want to ask you to join us as we seek to look beyond ourselves, our needs, and our wants. And join us as we pray for God's will to be done in this church. And I will tell you in just a moment, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. It's number 593, I Lay My Sins on Jesus. But before we stand and sing, I'd like for you to pray with me this prayer. I wonder if you'd join me. And if God is leading you to pray in your heart this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I receive the truth that I am a timeless, priceless masterpiece, an example of your grace and kindness. Because of these truths, I recommit myself to the greater picture. I will be what you want me to be as part of this church and your church. I will act toward others the way that you want me to act. And I recommit myself to loving you more and loving others more, to growing in you, telling others about you. and to serve you whenever I can. I want to make this life's journey on this earth all that you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and sing this great hymn, number 593, and you come as God leads you to come this morning. If you're not a member of our church, we open the doors of church membership. If you've never accepted Christ, you come. If you have something you'd like to pray about, you come, and we will gladly receive you. Let's sing.